Welcome back to Wise World Podcast, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We've got an awesome guest on the show. We've got Nathan Kider. I'm going to let Nathan introduce himself. I know Nathan for, I'm going to say, quite a few years now. I know what he does. I don't really know how it got started and what he's really up to now. All I see is there's so many different avenues that Nathan's gone down through his career. And I thought it'd be great to get him on the podcast to find out a little bit more about Nathan. So over to you, Nathan. If you can introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm Nathan Kider or Kider, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Most people say Kider, Kider, Kinder, whatever you want to say.
It's really absolutely good.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good. Right now I currently invest in small businesses, small startup businesses. I suppose where my journey began was 2004, set up a property search company acting on behalf of cash-rich, time-poor clients, buying on behalf of them properties, residential properties in central London. And like I said, now I invest in small businesses. And yeah, it's been a whirlwind journey, as I'm sure you mentioned or you know about my past, about when I became homeless and was living in the YMCA in Watford, Charter Place.
We briefly touched base on that. We did a podcast that never ever aired, if I remember rightly. But yeah, we touched base on it, but I think it'd be nice to know a little bit more about how that even got started and how you started your first business.
So when I was 20, I think I was 21, 20, maybe 21, 22, I can't remember, I'm getting old now. I noticed a small gap in the market where tech became part of real estate business in London, where in terms of we had Rightmove and Find a Property. And as working in an estate agent myself, we would never take the online inquiry seriously. So whenever an online inquiry came through on our laptop or computer, we would be like, they're not serious buyers. We'd only wait for people to come into the office. And I saw a small gap in the market in terms of, actually, I could do, if people are not taking them seriously, my clients have to come into the office. Why don't I do the searching for them online, find the suitable properties that these estate agents are advertising them, go view them on behalf of my clients, arrange all the viewings, have a look at them and get them to offer. And they were almost seeing properties that are coming on the market first before anybody else and getting offers accepted. So I did really well from that. And we called it Click Investments at the time. There was no limited company. There was nothing like that. It was literally just, you know, checks coming to me or bank transfers coming to me directly. Did really well. And all of a sudden, I started overspending. So what I mean by that is in property transactions, residential property transactions, you have two parts to it, exchange and completion. Exchange, when the exchange is done, it means you're then liable to buy the property on a certain date. I started spending all of that money before the properties started exchanging. So I was spending, you know, 150, 200 grand a year easily without these properties, exchanging. All of a sudden, I go home one day, my doors are locked, my car's repossessed, everything gone. Didn't know what to do. Was too proud to be telling people that I've just lost everything and I'm now homeless effectively. So I slept in my car for a few weeks, had to claim Job Seeker's Allowance, and then went into the YMCA. And I was there for 6 months and it was a big culture shock.
And how did you get out of that?
It was a mindset. So there was no Instagram, there was no YouTube, there was nothing, and there was no audio books to listen to find inspiration. And I struggle with reading. So for me, it was like, what can I do every day on a daily basis where I can get my mindset right? Subconsciously thinking about mindset. I never knew anything about mindset back then. There was no such thing about get your mindset right, get motivated. It was the culture wasn't like that. There was no such thing as that back then. So it was every day, what makes me feel good on a daily basis? So it was exercise, training, trying to keep my spirits high, trying to have small relationships with people in the YMCA that were sane at the time, because there was a big mix of personalities in there from all walks of life. So you need to pick and choose carefully who you speak to on a daily basis. And it was literally just getting fit every day. Then it was finding opportunities. Once I was then ready to move out of there, I sold my car. Lucky enough, I had one car, which they didn't repossess. And it was something I bought for cash back in the day. I sold my car, got a deposit on a flat to rent, and then got myself a job back in an estate agency. Worked for the estate agent for 6-7 months. And then so far, the rest is history, because then I started acting again on behalf of buyers, doing what I do best, buying properties for clients, whether it was investments or residential purchases. yeah, and then eventually just moved out of it and then started heading up different agencies, worked for big companies like Yopa, worked for Ferrari and Maserati in the Middle East when the property market crashed. I say crashed. When the markets turned in 2008, I took a year out. Why not? Yeah, had some really good times. But so, getting out of the YMCA was fun. It was fun. Yeah. It was, looking back at it, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
You always seem like a very happy person, and I know you've got a lot on your plate and a lot going on. Like, if you could just reel out what businesses you're owner of now, maybe not day-to-day managing, but maybe go with what you own and then what you actually manage day-to-day, because I'm intrigued to know what your actual schedule is. Because all I see is on Instagram, is you moaning about a bicycle guy or someone cutting you up or a vegan or some football team. And I'm like, he's always on the go. And it looks like you're going to house viewings, but I don't know. Is that all you're doing or is there more to it?
So I currently own, I'll go back, say, sort of 7-8 years. So I set up a company called PT Workspace, which is a gym based around helping personal trainers grow their own businesses by giving affordable rent based on an hourly basis, as opposed to paying a monthly rent, which they had to stick by, which is in London, it's more than their rent. You know, personal trainers, when they're starting out, don't earn an absolute fortune and they're stuck in these big gyms by paying 1,200 quid a month rent. So I thought I'd change the model a little bit and do a rental business, which I think I showed you once, you know, when you came over. I think I showed you the gym. Sold that just before COVID, got out of it, set up another one. So where it starts again, I set up another one with my business partner, Nick. So it's another gym just around the corner. From there, I opened a coffee shop called Your Coffee Hub and then opened three of those in 6 months. In hindsight, it's the worst thing I've ever done.
Really?
It's a really tricky business. Coffee shops is really tricky. Unless you're working in them every single day, it's a tough business to be in. What else we've got? Mon Jolly Shen, which is a dog groomers. We set up a dog groomers a year ago this month. And we were featured in the Times as one of the best London luxury dog groomers. Just done a collaboration with Marc Jacobs yesterday. I've got dog groomers. I've got Nathan K Real Estate. I invest in a company called Agent and Home, which is a property platform for agents to grow their business. What else is there? Goat property platform. So Agent and Homes is now changing. We're moving into Goat or Red Orange, which is we're building our own tech built by, you know, with a corporation of AI. And it's our own tech and it's our own property platform. A lot of the property platforms at the moment out there, like Keller Williams, EXP, not to name all of them, but as an example, they have external tech. They use, you know, they contract out their tech, and we would rather build our own so then we can license it out to anyone that wants to build their own platform, basically. So we're in the process of doing that now. And it's quite interesting because I know nothing about AI. I don't know how it works, but I'm learning day by day. But yeah, effectively we're looking to build our own tech and roll out a big, big property platform probably in about a year's time.
And so, these connections that I don't even know where to start. So do you still run the coffee shops, or are you saying it was a bad idea just in general?
Still got the coffee shop. So they went viral about a year ago with the Kona, which is basically a coffee and a donut. And how it came about, I invested in a pizza shop called Mutt's Nuts Pizzas and Donuts. And we did quite well. We actually supplied donuts to Google a few times, which was really good. So what happened was the guy that was Andy, who made the donuts, threw away one of the donuts because it was wrong. I was like, that's such a waste of a donut. What could we do with that? And one day I just cut it out and I put a coffee in it, just to see what would happen. Obviously, just soak through. And it was like, you need a barrier. I was like, what could we use? He's like, what about like Nutella or Biscoff? So put Nutella in it, then put a coffee in it and then tried to drink it, spilt everywhere. Then we cut it out properly, made the donuts a little bit bigger, filled it with Nutella, then put a coffee, then had a straw to drink the coffee through. And all of a sudden, this thing went viral, like 20 million views. There was people queuing all the way down the street for an hour and a half, coming from Paris, New York, Canada, everywhere. They were coming from all around the world to try this Kona. The thing with Instagram and hypes, they don't last long. So you need to be, you know, you need to come up with really good ideas consistently to keep that momentum going. Yeah, so in terms of coffee shops, I've still got the coffee shops. Hard work. As soon as you've got staff that are not paid the most amount of money, if they get offered a job for £1 extra an hour, £1.50 an extra an hour, they leave. And in a business where you're not involved every single day and you're not around every single day, as soon as staff don't turn up, you're in big trouble because you've got wastage, you've got supplies to pay for, you've got still got staff to pay for, rent, rates, etc. So for me, now looking back at that business, it's definitely something I want to wind down and close. As much as I really enjoy it, and there's a really good markup on coffee, when you start serving food, coffee, and becoming coffee shops where people go to eat, yeah, you need to be involved every single day to stop the wastage. So we've got a new concept coming up later on.
Have you ever had to rock up and do a full day shift in one of the coffee shops?
Yeah, when we first opened, I did a full day shift.
So like, it's like you're just getting a message like, mate, two staff off today, no one's going to be at this coffee shop. And you're like, great.
I'd rather close the shop. I've never done that. I've only been there when we first opened with our staff. I could never turn up to the shop. I'd poison somebody and then I'd be an absolute, I'd rather just close the shop for the day and lose the money.
Oh, I would love to have come that day. Just he's running it. Let's just see how many GG vegan donuts.
Absolutely not. Oh, we did actually. Do you know what? Right. We did. You know, so many people were messaging us on Instagram and there was thousands of messages and we had to get somebody to run our Instagram account for us at the time because it was just too much to handle. And she kept saying to me, Nathan, everyone's asking for vegan donuts. I was like, I'm not doing vegan donuts. Anyway, we had to. We did vegan donuts. Guess how many people came? Like less than 20, less than 20. Yeah. What a waste of time and money and energy. So yeah, we binned off the vegan donuts, binned off all the stuff that they wanted. Yeah. Not worse.
It's crazy how quick it went viral and how you just had a huge influx. How many people do you think actually turned up to come and get that viral donut / coffee?
We actually worked it out. I think we sold something like 10,000.
Fuck, that is a lot.
It was a lot. We did really, really well.
And I'm surprised it died down. I would have thought you would have got more people coming and been like, right, need to go get that. That's the place to go in London.
People still go and get the coat. You can still go and get a coconut, but there's just not as many as there used to be. I mean, it's not, you can only have it once or twice. It's not something that you could probably have every day. You know, it's definitely like you've had it once, you've had it twice, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's a one hit wonder.
Yeah. It soon wears off sort of thing. It's bloody cool that that came about. Nice idea, I suppose. So you're looking to wind that down and now you're moving to focus on more property platforms. Well, these sort of like from an idea, just for talking to someone that doesn't understand property platforms, is this something that's like going to compete with the likes of Zoopla or things like that?
More the EXP Keller Williams. So it's more about helping agents grow their businesses, but in a way where they're building their own brand. So the problem I see at the moment in the market of in that particular space, agents aren't able to grow their own brands. They're growing the brand above the door.
Yeah.
And I would rather help agents build their own business and grow their own brands in their local area. And the reason why that is because at some point they'll all want to leave their platform. We don't want them to leave our platform. We want them to stay and add the value. And the value is actually helping them build their own business and their own brand. Forget about our own brand. We want to build their brand. So the platform is based around building their own brands. Because I've noticed it with Agent & Holmes, Keller Williams, EXP, all of these agents, they all want to leave. Once they get a bit too big, they're thinking, why am I giving you 25, 30% to grow your brand instead of my own? And then all of a sudden, they get stuck there. The problem is with starting your own business in property is the portals that people use, like Rightmove, Zoopla, on the market, they're really expensive. You know, you're looking at sort of $3,000 to $4,000 a month before you've even started.
Wow.
It's a big outlay. So you can imagine how many deals you'd need to do, how much pipeline you'd need to have, how many clients you need to have in your black book. But yeah, that's something that we're trying to eliminate. So instead of being an EXP or Keller Williams, we want to grow our own platform by using our own tech.
I'm surprised no one's tried competing with the likes of Zoopla and Rightmove.
They try to, but the problem is the outreach. So if you speak to, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you ask somebody what property platform they would use to look for searching properties, they say Rightmove. As in, it's a household name. It's ingrained in everybody and it's part of their DNA. A lot of the younger generation from rentals, for instance, are using Zoopla. So I find a lot of the first-time buyers also use Zoopla. So it's Zoopla and Rightmove. You've got the likes of On The Market, but I've got On The Market in my agency. No one ever uses it. I get very few inquiries from On The Market. So Rightmove and Zoopla, big players, and it's going to be very hard to move that.
I always find on the market is more like your Scotland country sort of manners. I wouldn't use on the market really to look at London, but yeah, I think for like Scotland and out in the sticks, I've seen on there, it's quite good.
They've got some good stock.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? I suppose it's just based on what regional areas focus on, what sort of...
Well, it depends on the agents on what they feel they're going to get benefit from their portal. If they feel that they've got a good, you know, if they feel like Prince of Scotland or in the north, lots of people are using on the market, then all the agents will have on the market. But most big agents should have all three portals. If you want to make sure you get the right inquiries, the right buyers to the door, you need all three portals. And all three portals cost money.
Yeah. And so from your experience, are you seeing a lot more people wanting to do this on their own rather than grown, saying like another person's brand, basically? Do you think that there's a huge gap there? I suppose you obviously do, otherwise you wouldn't be investing in it.
I think there's always been a gap there. And I think the US market have done it really, really well, because obviously you have a broker that buys and sells on behalf of you, and they all work independently, self-employed under an umbrella for a brand, whether it be Remax or Century 21 or Keller Williams, whoever it might be. There are big property platforms for them to tap into, and that's how they use their brokerage. But it came to the UK, I'd probably say 2005, with Remax. Remax did a similar thing, but it just couldn't get the branding right. And I've noticed it since, especially since COVID, where people want to work from homes. Agents that are currently working for large corporate estate agents don't want to be stuck in the office from 9 to 5. And that have got a decent clientele where people go back to them, you know, they do have repeat business and pick up their mobile phone and call them and say, I want you to sell or help me buy. Those are the sort of agents that are now wanting to start their own business so they can have more time with their family, earn more money. But ultimately, you've still got to work hard. You've got to go out and do the hard work by door knocking, speak to your clients, networking, asking for referrals. You know, it's tough. It's not easy. Yeah. And I think if you've only got a few years experience, I'd probably say stay away from it and go learn your trade in an estate agent, build up a good client portfolio, and then leave and start your own business.
Are you a one-man band in that business?
Yeah. So in terms of Nathan K Real Estate, just me. So I didn't even want it to be an estate agent. That's the thing. So Nathan K Real Estate is all about property searching. That's all we do. And that's all we've ever focused on. However, when I opened an office on my street, because I don't like to travel too far for my work, right? I wanted everything close to me so I can always be around.
Yeah.
I got the shop on my street, and it turned into an estate agent just by accident. I didn't want it to, but all of a sudden the local clients walk in and go, Nathan, oh, can you sell my £2 million house? You're never going to turn down away a 35, 40 grand fee. It's never going to happen. So I was like, okay, fine. And all of a sudden, this search agent, this property buyer, all of a sudden turns into a local estate agent. So I've got a local estate agent now, I've got 28 properties in my area, which is more than some of the agents that have been in it for 25 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but I'm not complaining. So I do need somebody to come and help me. So we are currently hiring for a negotiator, but it's finding the right people that want to do the job.
Do you think that they're coming more to you? Because I've always thought this, like when there's a face behind the brand, like yourself, they see your name above the shop. So they know that they're talking to you. Whereas when they go somewhere else, it's like you said, it's lots of different people working for a name above a door.
Well, yeah. And no disrespect to the high street estate agents. I mean, someone selling, you know, their biggest asset doesn't want some little spotty kid driving around in a company car, probably lives at home with his mum and dad. There's nothing wrong with that. But they don't want someone in a shiny suit turning up to sell their house and they've never bought or sold before. Why would you want somebody acting on behalf of your biggest asset that doesn't know what they're talking about? I've been there. I've done it. You know, I was that agent once upon a time, and I've got my trade and I've got my stripes. And I am where I am today because I've currently worked hard for it. But yes, people come to me because they say, actually, Nathan, you've been doing it for 20 years. I know what you're about. I'd rather you look after it because I know that you're going to be dealing with it. But that's what they pay for. So my fees are very set. I'm really strict about how I do my business. So for instance, with property searching, somebody came in on Thursday or Friday of last week, said, oh, you do property searching. I've seen your reviews. They're great. Can we discuss my property search? I said, no. He's like, why? I said, before we have any conversation about me trying to find you an investment or going through my book of properties for you to buy, you're going to pay my invoice. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I charge £1,500 just to have that conversation. That obviously £1,500 is a retainer fee. It goes towards their success fee, but I'm not, you know, I have a very strict way of working and people respect that because I can't waste my time with people that say, I want to buy a property. You start a search for them and they say, I'll change my mind. So before I get involved in any conversations, you pay my invoice. My fees are set out on my leaflets. It's don't like it, don't use me. There's no negotiating. There's no discussions about my fees. Yeah. It is what it is. So, but people respect that.
Is that a completely different approach then to your competitors?
Yeah. A lot of agents that I know, they drop their pants as quickly, you know, as soon as somebody says, oh, another agent's doing this, they'll match it straight away. How can you, if you can't justify and negotiate your own fee, how can you negotiate the best price for your client's house? Like, these are negotiators, and all of a sudden, yeah, I'll drop the price. Well, hold on. That's your money. What about my money when it comes to getting an offer on my house? How are you going to negotiate with buyers? It's different. And they'll go, it's different. It's not different. You're willing to give away your own cash. Do you think you're going to care about mine? So for me, it's like, no, I negotiate hard. I work hard. But the high street agents, they drop their pants quickly because there's so much competition. But hold your nerve because they've asked you to go in there for a reason. So be confident in what you do. Trust the process. Demonstrate that you're good at what you are good at and go from there.
When you're talking about that sort of experience with like youngsters coming in to sell your property, I remember when I was selling one of my properties and this 20-year-old person came in. I won't say if it was a guy or a girl, but they came in and they took their shoes off to walk around the property to have a look and familiarize themselves with it. And their feet absolutely stunk. And I was just like, I would rather add mud on my carpets. It was that bad. I was sitting there thinking, this person ain't selling anything if you're rocking around with those sorts. I wasn't even
brilliant. Close.
I was like, that is ridiculous. Anyway, I was sitting there thinking, this can't be actually legit, you know, as in you've got to have an issue or something. You're walking around with stinky ass feet. I was like, that's no one, cool. Especially if it lingers. It's pretty interesting. I think I've always taken my hat off to you and what you do in business. I think it's pretty astonishing what you're doing. And I think like you bring a comical aspect to it. One question I do have, do you think that some of your customers that you are representing follow and watch your stories on social media? And have you ever had any kickback or criticism from some of the stuff that you're saying on there?
Yeah, so there's a client that follows. I'm only going to buy recently happened. So a client follows me. I'm selling his flat round the corner because he's buying something through me. So I'm acting for him on the purchase, and I'm also selling his property. And I had a few viewings booked in, and someone was running late, and they told me at the time that they were supposed to be there. I said, "You're going to get I'm going to give you 3 minutes to be here. Unless you're not here, I'm off."
Right.
And he's like, "You won't." I said, "I'm leaving. Like, I will not be here. You can turn up whenever you like, but I will not be here." And the client saw it and laughed. But ultimately, look, this is someone going to view his house to buy, and he needs to sell it. So, but he just laughed at the comment because it's my time. I don't care if I'm selling someone's house or not. It's my time. And then if I'm late for my next client, that can't happen. I can't stand people with bad punctuality. And that all stemmed from back when I was late for a job and I nearly got fired from it. And it really shit me up. Sorry for my language.
Yes,
and yeah, it really scared me. And from then, I've never been late. I mean, of course, things happen, but I always leave early. I'm never late, always on time. So look, if people don't like it, don't use me. I am who I am and I'm not going to change for anyone. I am who I am.
I suppose from a client side, it just doesn't show. It means like a person clearly ain't serious about buying it if they're turning up late and not, you know, giving me last minute notice. But I suppose from a client base, I'm just surprised you haven't had like anybody leave a negative review. But like the guy was so rude, I was 3 minutes late and disappeared. Have you not had any of that?
Yeah, there's a Google review on Nathan K Real Estate. There's a bad Google review saying do not use, rude, unprofessional. And what happened was, I called her, I said, "Where are you?" She said, "I'm running late." I said, "I know that because you're not here and we're due to meet." She said, "Oh, I didn't know. I was a bit scared." I said, I texted her saying, "You're an absolute waste of time. Do not rebook." And then she put a review on Google. But I'll leave it there. I don't care. I'm not going to remove it. you cannot be late for appointments. Like, if you're going to book appointments in with people, turn up or at least give them plenty of notice so they can make rearrangements or rebook. I don't mind if people are late or want to reschedule, but give me plenty of notice. So whenever you book a viewing through me or my agency, it sends an email saying, please arrive on time or the viewing will be cancelled.
Yeah.
It's really simple. Yeah. So now we've put that in place just to stop any messes.
So where do you see the housing market going at the moment from an economy perspective, and sort of like, how do you see the economy and have you seen it affecting any of your businesses? Because you're well diversified through sort of dealing with high net wealth individuals. Then you're diversified from dealing with your day-to-day Joes from the coffee shops, and then also from grooming as well. Some of these can be seen, like you said, as a luxury. And usually during hard times, you see them, you know, people kicking back on that and cutting their sort of cost in. Have you seen any sort of downturns in the overall market, or depending on the different ranges of people that you're dealing with, I suppose?
I notice it. So in terms of different markets, I notice it in the coffee shop more, where people would rather maybe not buy that croissant or that cookie or that lunch or that sandwich or something that goes with it. I notice it more in that market. In terms of the property market, we're dealing with the higher end. We're dealing with the higher end of the market. So there's always liquidity there. And remember, whenever there's a bad market or a quiet market, there's always opportunities. And that's the way that I've always looked at it as well when investing. It's never about, so in the property market, it's never about, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So forget about the timing. It's about what you buy, not when you buy it.
Okay.
It's really simple. If you buy really well, it doesn't matter of the market. It will always, that property or that investment will always do well. Dog grooming. No, I think most of the people love their dogs more than they love their kids. I promise you, they would rather get their dog groomed and smelling nice than buy their kid the pair of trainers that they really need. I mean, and there's a shortage of good dog groomers in London. So we're lucky at MJC. We're fully booked until May.
So what, you just went out, hired a dog groomer? And was like,
it's a couple of dog groomers. Yeah, we hired a couple of really good dog groomers. One's just gone on the maternity leave. So we were absolutely, you know, we were bricking it because we thought, how are we going to replace a really good manager? She manages the shop, Megan. She's brilliant, but she's now gone on maternity leave. We found another dog groomer to run the shop. I mean, we've got three full-time people in there at any one stage. And then we've got part-time staff. So we've got seven people that are in and out of there. It's a really busy little shop. I think the key thing for us now, how we're going to diversify and expand and grow, would be to create an academy where we actually train really good dog groomers. And the reason why I say that is because there are courses you can go on. There are lots of people qualified. The problem with it is they don't know then what to do with it afterwards. They don't know how to set up a business, how to set up a brand, how to open a shop. So they're lost. They're like, what do I do next? Sorry.
Sorry.
Can you see me still?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just someone was calling me, even though it's on Do Not Disturb. Sorry.
So no, it's fine.
We're setting up an academy where we're going to help people train to be a really good dog groomer, but then also help them grow their business and effectively maybe take a percentage of that business and oversee everything, help them implement the systems, the setup, you know, and let them understand the costs, actually help them understand how it is, what it is and what it takes to run a company.
Yeah. So what you've done is I wouldn't say is an easy thing. Are you leasing these properties, or are you physically going, do you know what, I'm getting this at a good below market rate through my real estate contacts, and I'm going to buy the building. The building's sat there as an asset, and then I'm going to open my shop in them. Because like you said, look at your offices now, prime location, people are walking off the street and giving you lots of listings. Are you renting, leasing, owning those? Like, you know, because if you was a dog groomer, half of these people wouldn't even be able to get their foot in the door of getting a good place to get set up.
Yeah. So I think if you start off, you're better off just leasing them and renting them to start with, as opposed, if you can afford to buy it, and if you can afford to, no, where our shops are. So for instance, this shop here, the building's £2.5 million. The shop at the dog groomers, again, £2.5 million. My gym, the building there is probably worth about 10 million. I mean, trying to buy these properties is almost going to be impossible, and it's not going to be for you. I think if you could team up with somebody that wants to buy buildings, shops and uppers, great, but it's finding them that are available at the right price. So I would just say, look, if you're going to start, just rent them like we have. We've rented that shop, see how it goes and go from there. If we can buy them, if the right price, why not? But if they're going to be overpriced, there's no point buying them. You might as well just rent them.
So on a monthly basis, then you actually have quite a bit of exposure then, because if you've got all these coffee shops, you've got all of these different rentals for these different properties. Do you not feel the pressure from that on a month to month basis? No,
I don't feel pressure. But I just quite enjoy. What's the worst that could happen? Look, people are always fearful, and I think when you're fearful, you know what your worst scenario could be. People don't expand or grow or take risks. And for me, I don't really care. What's the worst that can happen for me? I sleep in my car. I go homeless. Mm. I can always start again. Like I'm lucky in the sense that I've not got any children. So I've got no dependents apart from my dog. My dog will sleep anywhere and eat anything. So
hey, your dog's got
Yeah, absolutely. Although she never gets groomed, bless her. She's been groomed like once in the last 3 months. So it's always that way, right? Whenever you're in that trade, you never have, you know, if you're a builder, your house is falling apart. If you're a mechanic, your car's always broken. Same thing. Like if I ever try and buy myself a house, it's almost impossible. But I think with, you know, just being fearless and not worrying about what's going to happen, just take risks and enjoy it. Just enjoy the process. And do you know what? When things go wrong, that's when you learn and get stronger. So I'm always up for things going wrong. Like I quite enjoy it. I enjoy that challenge. I'm not looking to become a multi-billionaire. I don't need to everything to go. That's not my path. That's not what I'm trying to follow. But just taking risks and not caring, but just seeing what happens.
I don't disagree with you because I'm a big risk taker myself. But I do think that not everybody can do it. I think the common knowledge is actually pretty on the low spectrum at this moment in time, especially from the sort of younger generations. I feel like the education's just not there. And I had this conversation quite a few times. I think that, you know, the generation where I'm at just below me is probably the last generation that I think can actually deal with patience and understanding timing, rather than the now society of must get this now. Even on buying stuff, I don't even understand buy now, pay later. I'm just like, well, if you can't afford it, why are you buying it? But that's the whole sort of side of future that we're looking at. It's all about instant gratification of how they can achieve. And I just think that's almost like a nightmare for building a business, because it's like,
I think if they're looking for instant gratification, then yes, but that's why a lot of them are using TikTok to sell products. And, you know, you can go on, everyone's trying to do Amazon FBA and it's all been done. Like, yeah. You know, move away from it. There's always something new, but look, they're just going to have to learn. Because they're going to realize not everything is going to come straight away. You've actually got to go and work for it. And just manifesting it every day is that's not enough. You actually have to do something, and you have to make mistakes, and you have to fail, and you have to suffer a little bit and not have to go to that meal that you wanted to go to, or go on the Friday night binge that you wanted to go, or that rave. In fact, you know what? It's funny. I saw a study the other day. A lot of the younger generation don't actually go clubbing anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of them tend to go to more house parties or gigs or festivals, maybe once a year. So they're probably saving a few quid. Because back in my time, you know, a Thursday night at China White's would cost us about 5 or 10 grand. So hence why I became homeless, right?
Well, it's a big thing. There's a lot of clubs are shutting down, aren't they? They're just like, they're seeing it more from a health side of things rather than that. But to be honest, I've been seeing a lot more stuff of like the younger generations are now doing online watch parties. It's something I don't really sort of fathom, but they sort of sit there. They all put their headphones on at the same time, watch each other and start the movie on Discord. And they're all sat there watching the movie in their own homes, chatting to each other rather than being present with each other. I find that, you know what I mean?
Do you know what, Sam, right? Do you know, it's as much, I always thought the other day, I'd love to try and change that culture and get everyone back together and, you know, have conversations with each other. It's never going to change.
Yeah,
that is going to be the new norm for them. And I'm so glad I wasn't born then, because thank God I've lived the life. But if I was younger, I would look to our generation about what we do and find out, why are we so happy? Like we've been really lucky in the generation that we were born in. You know, tech became a really like big part of our lives, but also it was remembering people's telephone numbers as a child. Like I used to remember everyone's house phone number off the back of my head. It was just such great times, like just picking up shit and eating it as a child and just like being in the mud and playing football every day and the lights turn off and you're back home and life was good. Life was good. And I feel bad for them. But I think if they just ask us for a bit of advice and what they think they should do, they'd learn a lot.
How do you think that a kid that's listening to this, you know, say a kid 18 to 20 year old that's listening to this podcast, listen to your story of how you was, you know, YMCA homeless all the way up to where you are now with multiple businesses. What sort of advice would you give that person to get started? And, you know, what sort of useful tips could they take away?
I think the first thing is stop listening to the outside world. Stop looking for people's like respect or their opinions. You know, other people's opinions of you don't matter. They don't put the bread on your table. So you have to keep your circles really small. What I mean by circles, like the people that you really trust and your support and your support network that really support you, that want you to do well, have them really small, like one or two mates that you absolutely trust and they really want you to do well and you all thrive together. So sort of get a group of you together that you really trust. Don't forget about the outside world and what people think. If you ask too many opinions of what you should be doing, you'll never get the answer that you want. You've just got to follow your gut and do what feels right for you. If it feels right, go and do it. Forget about what other people say and learn from that mistake. Whether it goes right or it goes wrong, learn from it. If it goes right, carry on. And, you know, just carry on until you make mistakes and just learn from it. But just don't be afraid of making mistakes and failing, because no one actually cares if you fail. And in fact, people really like it when you fail. Like whenever you're in hospital, and you put it on Instagram, the amount of messages you get, oh my God, are you okay? The amount of attention that you get. As soon as you put something good on there, no one gives a shit.
You know what? This is the most truest thing I've actually heard, because my office, I obviously, you know, I moved away from the UK, and then one of the units next to my office that we spent so long refurbing caught fire, and then my offices caught fire. And I was only putting a real notification out to be like, we won't be answering the phones at the office for next week because we can't get in because it's a fire. You know, the trainings that we had booked in person, you know, unfortunately, there's a fire. So when you anyway, so I was like, we're going to have to put a notification out. So we just did a reel on it. And then next thing you know, we got like 80,000 views in 3 days. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me that you lot are re-watching my office burning down? I was like, just goes to show you how much people like negative news over positive news.
So when I say keep your circles tight and small, it's people that surround, like whenever I see my best friends doing really well, we always message each other, love it, congratulations, smash it. Like even my friend Chris yesterday said, go smash today. Like, you need people around you, even me, you need people around you that support you, whether it's my wife, my dad, my brother, whatever it might be, have a really small network of people around you that support you. So that's probably the best thing that I'd look for. And don't care about what anybody says. Forget about publishing your successes because no one cares and no one's going to like them. You're better off. If you want to get traction, put something really sad out there and really down and that you failed and that you're upset and you're miserable and your traction will go through the roof.
Do you know what, right? You speak fucking volumes, because I was getting so annoyed on social media, like the days when I had the Ferraris and the Rolls Royce, I put those out. And everyone would love that. They're like, oh, fucking supercars, la, 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 la. And I was like, right, I'm going to put out some really nice sort of educational information that can help people learn and get better. It did all right, but nowhere near as good. You know, I'm talking about, so you want to do investments? Why not go to do like, understand what premium bonds is? Something super basic where you can get started, da, da, da. And it's like no viewership. I put a video up. I'm not joking. This is just shows you the proof, right? And you can look at this. Look at my Instagram. I pinned it at the top. I put a video up of like this 12-year-old kid, right? Drawing a dick pattern on his trading charts, explaining what the sector's like. And then you saw in his search history that this kid was watching Simpsons porn, and my video's gone viral and I got 750,000 views. And I'm like, Mate, this world that we live in, it's there for the taking, and you lot focus on bullshit. In fact, it scares me to the point of where I'm like, I cannot believe that this is the world that we've moved to, where it's like there's all the content, all the education in the world. On the other hand, we could watch Simpsons porn and dick pans, and that's gonna drive the traffic.
But you know, that's gonna separate those that want and ones that really don't want. You know, they're the ones that just, I don't know what their mentality is of looking at that. I can't waste my time watching that or looking at it. It's great to post it because it's really good for you, right? But people love that stuff. It's like, I'd rather look at the educational side of it. Actually, what can I learn from that? What little golden nugget can I take from that and actually do something with? It's madness. You're giving away free advice and people don't want to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, well, we've got a million impressions from it. Out of those million people, there'll be like 200, 300 that actually give a shit. And the rest will carry on watching their Simpsons porn, you know? the world that we live in. Anyway, it's been awesome having you on the podcast. Really appreciate all your time and your tips for everybody that's tuning in. If people wanted to find out more about you, maybe more about this academy that you've got going on, or the platforms of how people can, you know, potentially join and take advantage of it, where should they go?
I think just send me an email. So you've got one of my email addresses. Just use my hello@nathankeeter.com. Just drop me an email and I can go through any bits and pieces that people want to know about. So whether it's the academy we want to go for, or the academy for MJC for the dog grooming, property platform, if you want to buy a coffee shop, you're welcome to take it off my hands. But I think the best thing to do is just drop me an email.
You heard it here, guys. You can email Nathan, yeah? That's something. Just going to get loads of emails now. Awesome. I'll put the email as well in the podcast description for everybody listening, so you can reach out to Nathan. Again, thank you so much for joining, and I wish you all the best, Nathan.
Cheers, Sam. It's been a pleasure.